WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. You may want to have that handy later tonight. 855-915-9636. I'm Derek Gary, joined as always by Lisa Nichols and Shay Spillane. And it has been, for better or worse, and mostly for worse, an extraordinary week since the last time that we were together here. And in acknowledgement of that and the general seriousness of what's going on in the country right now, we're making a slight format change tonight. We're still going to do the news off the top of the show, as we always do. But we are dispensing with Did You Hear this week, and probably a good deal of the frivolity that you're used to from this show, so that we can spend some time looking at what exactly happened in Charlottesville and how exactly our president is reacting to it.
Which is, depending on your opinion, good or really, really bad.
Yeah, well, I think the people who think his reaction has been good are in a very small minority.
Yes, I'd say that's an accurate statement.
And they are now
slightly delusional.
And they are now hanging around on the dark web.
Straight up crazy pants.
Yeah, they are now hanging around on the dark web because legitimate radio or legitimate web hosts won't let them in anymore. So we are going to be talking about that later tonight. We're going to be talking about that in depth. We don't do this very often on this show. This is the third time that I can think of that we've suspended format since Newtown. Mm-hmm. Newtown being the first. That is the magnitude of what's happened here. And if you don't grasp the magnitude of what happened over the weekend and what's happened in this country in the days since, stick around, because we're going to put it into some meaningful context for you and not hopefully devolve into the shouting points that have been the hallmark of cable news broadcasting for the last 72 hours.
Yeah.
I know it's making money.
We love the mainstream media here.
I know it's making money for the Geico people. But for everybody else, it's just kind of sad to watch the spectacle on CNN.
And once again, I maintain the stance that normally in the summertime, we absolutely have nothing to talk about.
I would say, remember when summer was boring?
Yeah.
Like just all Olympics, if it was happening.
That is part of the reason why the story is as big as it is, by the way.
Of course.
Because if Charlottesville would be an important event no matter what. But if Charlottesville hadn't happened on a Saturday in August with nothing else in the news cycle, we would not have had the depth of coverage that we've had on it.
Because there's nothing else going on.
Exactly.
Or it's the same rhetoric that's coming from mainstream media, that it's Trump bad, Trump bad, Trump bad. Here's a different angle we can tell you about
exactly.
Trump being bad. And it's actually really bad.
I believe it was just 2 months ago that somebody drove a car down the sidewalk in Times Square and killed and injured a bunch of people. And that story was pretty much gone from the public consciousness in 24 to 48 hours.
Listen, that story did not grasp the amount of coverage that it should have.
So here we are on Wednesday talking about something that happened on Saturday. Yeah, it's probably a big deal.
No, and of course, and understanding where we are as a country and the dynamic of society right now, this story fits the perfect narrative for what's going on.
You're exactly right, because it's not just someone driving their car through something. There's so many different like envelopes of issues enveloping themselves into it.
It is. It's a perfect incident, and the incidents to follow is a perfect gift wrap box for anybody on CNN, MSNBC, Fox News that are pushing this, you know, message of, and I mean, it is the truth. We live in a country that is completely divided right now, and unfortunately, it's being even more pulled apart with the different varying sides.
Yes.
But it fits into, you know, it's not a circle going into a square. It's the squares are fitting into the squares right now in the narrative, and unfortunately, we are left with people injured, dead, and even further race tensions, heightened tensions among friends.
And in the meantime, Geico gives more money to the broadcast news channels. So that's a big win for them. Anyway, before we get deeper into all of that, I'm sure we're going to deal with some of the ramifications of that. We've got the news.
Yes.
Oh, boy. Other things happened, and most of them aren't good either.
Quite true. In local news, city and community leaders are speaking out after the New England Holocaust Memorial in Boston was vandalized for the second time this summer. A 17-year-old Malden boy was arrested Monday night after he was seen throwing a rock that shattered one of the memorial's glass panels. He was detained by two bystanders, one an off-duty Drug Enforcement Administration agent and one an off-duty Boston firefighter, and kept there until the police arrived. The teen appeared in juvenile court yesterday and was charged with willful and malicious destruction of property and causing injury to a church, synagogue, or memorial. He was released on his own recognizance with orders to stay away from the memorial and comply with, quote, mental health guidance, unquote. The police department's civil rights unit is also investigating to determine if additional charges are warranted.
I like this mental health guidance.
Maybe get him that before he does that.
he has some mental problems, so that's why he ran up to the Holocaust Museum in Boston and decided to throw a rock at it. No, this is a little punk 17-year-old that thought it would be funny in front of his friends. You know what? I would rather have you getting completely high and start graffitiing the side of the bridge over in Malden than deciding to throw a boulder over at one of the prized monuments in the city of Boston. It is insane to me what goes through these kids. And you know what it is? They think they're invincible.
Oh, yeah.
They can do whatever they want. There's no ramifications or no consequences to anything. And you can just, hey, I'm going to throw a rock at it. Because you know what? They don't teach some of these things in school anymore. They don't know the... Because what? The first time a lot of these people, kids understand what actually happened during the Holocaust was maybe if you paid attention on your 8th grade field trip to D.C. and nobody actually does. It's sad. These kids don't know what's going on. And to him, I assume that it wasn't because of what it represented. It was just, I'm going to damage something in Boston.
Yeah, well, to answer your first question, Lisa, this is a state run by soft-on-crime liberals, as we know. So when somebody commits an act of vandalism, it's not enough to say
mental health.
You're a punk.
Yeah.
We're gonna kick your ass until you realize that you can't do this anymore. Oh no, he must have some kind of mental health issues. He's acting out because he's oppressed.
Yeah, he didn't take his ADD medicine.
Let's give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what's crazy too is that they actually, as I was looking into it, they actually have backup panels in a warehouse ready for this sort of thing to happen and have since it was constructed over 20 years ago. But this is, I think maybe there's been one other act of vandalism ever except for the last 8 weeks, and now it's happened twice.
Here's
this summer.
Here's one of the great truths that gets completely obliterated when we have a situation like we do in the country right now where people are literally at each other's throats over racism, anti-Semitism, all the rest of this. We always hear about somebody knocked over tombstones in the cemetery, or somebody sprayed swastikas on something, or somebody sprayed anti-black graffiti on something. In the vast majority of these cases, it is bored high school kids who are doing it. They don't understand what they're doing. They just know it's going to upset people, and it's going to get a rise out of somebody, and maybe it'll make the news, and then I can sit back and brag to my friends. This is not evidence of any sort of mounting anti-Semitism in the city of Boston. This is a dumb punk kid from Malden.
Of course, and what's cooler to do to him than to smash giant glass monument or, you know, draw a little graffiti sign on John Adams or whoever's in the cemetery down by the Commons.
Now, if it's a dumb punk kid from Malden who's spending all day on stormfront.com, that's a different story.
Of course.
But nobody, we would have heard that by now. Well, okay? This is a bored kid with a rock, and that's never a good combination.
Mm-hmm. Well, the crazy thing is, though, and that being said, I entirely agree, but there was also, so after this happened, people started visiting the memorial and started placing flowers where the glass had been shattered.
Yeah.
And a 37-year-old started kicking over the flowers and was also taken into custody on vandalism
charges. That guy apparently has legitimate mental health issues and was living.
I mean, you have to, especially there are already news cameras everywhere at this point. Like the kid, they got, like, no one really got a shot of him. This guy, it's literally like there's someone with a clear shot of his face turning around to see if anyone's following him.
I'm not sure if Derek or Shay, you know, but in this country,
Everybody's crazy.
Well, according,
and it's becoming
according
more
to
and more apparent every day.
According to the Boston Herald, that guy, the guy that was kicking all the flowers, lives in a halfway house for people with mental illness.
No, it does make sense.
So,
how
he's nuts.
How Shay was talking about they have backup panels in storage for this thing to happen. Because, of course, when in construction of something like this and understanding how easily breakable glass is and how easily it is to destruct said thing, it's a better idea to have a backup of what you're constructing.
You built it in the middle of the bar district.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the other thing, is if you know where this is located, it is smack dab in the middle of where people are drunk off their boards at 2 a.m.
Don't get me wrong. I used to walk in stilettos on those cobblestones.
I used to give you pickbacks on those cobblestones.
Yeah. Yes,
piggyback rides, rather.
If the city of Boston could make a fortune arresting the people who urinate on it when the bars get out every night at 2:30.
No. If you go to any of the markets down by there, say early Sunday morning, you will see the remnants of Saturday night.
Yeah.
There's usually a full splotches of vomit everywhere.
Yeah.
But then there's, you know, the 7-Eleven Slurpee cans, like, all around the monument. So you have these beautiful flowers. But then sprinkled throughout are the insides of some girl's stomach because she drank too many Red Bulls.
Newport Lights.
Yeah. You have to understand where it's coming from.
Well, and not to step on our story for later, but this is generally unrelated. President Trump dissolved two of his economic advisory councils today after a rash of CEOs resigned in the wake of his response to the attack in Charlottesville, Virginia. Trump tweeted, quote, "Rather than putting pressure on the business people of the Manufacturing Council and Strategy and Policy Forum, I am ending both. Thank you all," end quote. Trump's tweet came just moments after two more executives announced their resignations from his Manufacturing Council today. Leaders of another council, which, as aforementioned, is called the Strategic and Policy Forum, said they were disbanding the body because the Charlottesville debate had become a, quote, distraction to their purpose, end quote.
I'm going to say this right now so that I don't have to say it during our conversation later tonight when we're going to talk about what Trump said and what happened in Charlottesville. Mm. All of these self-aggrandizing CEOs who had to make a big public show of stepping away from Donald Trump's business council can go stick their heads firmly back up their buttocks.
All right, I'm going to say this to you, Derek.
They are a bunch of clowns.
If I gave you two scenarios of why they did this, one, they truly believe in the message that is being spoken. That's on one side. Or on the other side, we have, there's going to be their quote with their name, and then you know what comes right after? The business that they represent.
Money! Mm-hmm. Money! Free publicity and money!
I was saying, exactly. That is crazy. Come on. This happens with any controversy that you see. It's, you know, from the NFL when we're talking about, and I'll have the story later, but the NFL, if you have a player, if you have the league, you have big sponsors come out, because once the sponsors pull out, it means money, money, money.
I defy anybody to look me in the eye with a straight face and tell me that the CEO of Walmart gives a good damn about anyone in the American people beyond the contents of their wallet.
Well, and that's on the flip side of that, which I do agree that it's definitely just an advertising opportunity. It's also, by being on his council, it seems very timely to me that this came not after he said what he said on Saturday, but after everyone reacted to it.
So a couple of them quit on Monday because
I say so from a PR, like,
these don't reflect the values of our company. The values of your company are to make money by any means necessary. Well, if you can screw over the American people and get more money, you will do it 100 out of 100 times.
But this is my point, is that they're not looking at this of, oh, the poor people of Charlottesville, oh, our poor citizens. They're looking at it as, oh, shoot, if we look like we're on the wrong side of this, we are going to lose money.
No, of course. And
so
they
let's
look at
hop
Trump,
out and make sure we're on the right side.
They look at Trump like kryptonite and they need to separate themselves from it. And, you know, it's a combination of wanting to get your name and publicity out there. It's like a free PR moment where you can say, look how good my company is. Mm-hmm. But in, you know, what it stems from, too, is these people, and we talk about them, the screaming children on the internet, which generally represent a very small chunk of people that condemn these companies.
But it's not even that. They're going to condemn these companies either way.
And it is. You have people that are going on, you know, shame on Under Armour for still being in this committee for. But Under Armour sees it as millions of people are speaking, which in turn, it's like 14 people on one single feed, maybe on a Reddit.
Can I ask you a question? Prior to all of these executives putting their hands up and saying, no, I won't be a part of this intolerance, did you even know that any of these people were on a presidential advisory council?
Nope.
Well, gee. So I don't know where all the internet outrage is coming from if no one even knows they're there. Okay. This is PR 101. This is marketing 101. Yeah. Hey, let's seize the news cycle and get everyone talking about Under Armour for the next 24 hours and how committed we are to diversity in the United States.
Yeah, but in these delusional marketing and PR companies that work mostly within the own company because they don't outsource. So Under Armour has their own and so on. And so Walmart has their own in-house team. They think that it is better to jump, and in some cases it is, to jump on a situation even before it is recognized. So they think that the damage is going to be more damning.
No.
It is. I understand.
Look, no, you're wrong about this. They want to get out in front of it so that they get the first crack at the news cycle. It has nothing to do with damage control. It has everything to do with if you are the first, second, or third. Everybody talks about you. If you're the fourth, fifth, or sixth, you got to wait a couple days.
No, absolutely.
Which, by the way, is what they did.
Absolutely, and I'll give you that. But you have these people that are working in these departments telling these CEOs, you need to jump on this, when no, that's not true. You can come out and say, like, we're not a part of it, but then it's both sides.
They don't care. They don't.
They do.
Your value as
is nothing. We understand.
Your value as an American of any
how much you're going to buy,
race, color, or creed to any of these CEOs is measured in your annual spend. That's it.
Yeah, we're the only color we're viewed as is green. And
yes.
It's with dollars.
What is the annual value of you to me as a customer, and how can I get you to increase that?
Mm-hmm.
How do I get you to spend more?
But talking about not only just the CEOs, because you also had social media posts from the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff, so commanders in the Navy, Marine Corps, Army, Air Force, that were condemning what Donald Trump was saying. And unfortunately, this is another thing that fits in that narrative that mainstream media is pushing, that there is a divide not only amongst people here in this country, there is a divide between people and the president, but also within the president's circle. So what it fits into that narrative that Washington is a mess. And it only amplifies it.
The case of the Joint Chiefs is a slightly different matter, and I'll tell you why it's a slightly different matter. One of your largest sources of recruits in the United States military is white supremacists. They all love to go join the Army because they get free military training. They actually get paid military training. And then they're going to go and take back the homeland after they wash out for being a complete idiot and saying something stupid. One of your next biggest sources of recruits is Latin Americans, who do not have a tremendous amount of educational or employment opportunities available to them. There are also a large number of Black Americans who go into the military. Same reason. So the generals have to keep everybody happy.
Mm-hmm.
They got to get the white supremacists and the Latin Americans and the Black Americans all into the same platoon, all fighting the enemy and not each other.
Oh, I do not envy their task.
So when Donald Trump comes out and says, hey, you know, well, the white supremacists weren't entirely to blame and there's good people in there, that creates a lot of headaches that the military does not want to deal with.
You think?
Just a bit. Creates a lot of headaches that the military does not want to deal with. So the generals have to come out and say, no, that's not our position. that's not where we stand.
We on cool, this. Man.
Yeah, please. Please, everybody, we're equal opportunity over here.
Well, I think also looking to, like, say, congressmen, say, taking it out of the military, like people like Paul Ryan and, why is his name currently escaping me?
Mitch McConnell?
Hanoi Hilton. He ran for president. I'm just having a brain fart right
Jane
now.
Jane Fonda? Oh, John McCain.
John McCain. Thank you. All I could think.
You say Hanoi, the first thing that comes to my mind is Jane Fonda.
But having people like Paul Ryan and John McCain.
Does that make me a conservative? I think it does.
I feel like it also is, it's an effort to save the brand a bit. You know what I mean? Because it's like
they don't need to save the brand. There is no brand that needs to be saved here. The Republicans need to speak forcefully against this sort of thing.
Oh no, and I'm aware of that. But there's a lot of confusion in our country about what true Republicanism is, which I think it's fair to say that someone like Paul Ryan is a Republican in every sense of the word, and having positions like. What, again, we're going to get into this deeper later in the show, but having positions like what Trump took yesterday, he is supposed to be the leader, and they don't want to less informed people think that is the overwhelming stance of the Republican Party.
No, and I think that's the struggle with the conversation right now in this country, and again, we'll talk about it later on the show, but in understanding the place where everybody stands, because many people, and I'm saying majority of left, think that alt-right are conservatives. Alt-right are not conservatives.
No.
Conservatives are not alt-right. We are talking about a completely different group. So when, yes, Donald Trump, president, is a Republican, it doesn't mean he fits into a group that represents the alt-right. And we will differ into... explain
all right,
the differentiation.
I'm going to stop you right there, and I'm going to ban a phrase from the show moving forward. Because it is newspeak, and it is lipstick on a pig.
White supremacists.
We're not talking about the alt-right anymore. Mm-hmm. We're going to call them white supremacists because that's what they are.
No, and I solely use that term because this is what a majority of Americans are hearing in the mainstream media. So
it has become the vernacular.
Why I use it in conversation with people, why I use it in conversation on this show, is for people to understand what they're hearing every day, all day, and what they're seeing on social media to fit that in. So, yes, I can understand where you're saying they are. Alt-right is white supremacist.
It is, period. End of story. Let's stop calling it anything else.
Absolutely. But a lot of people don't understand the difference.
But they don't need to, because that phrase is part of the way that white supremacists have tried to legitimize themselves.
No, of course.
And they have been enabled by a media that is more than happy to take their money and more than happy to cater to their beliefs if it means somebody is making a profit.
No, and absolutely. I mean, they're not hiding this at all. You want to talk about any of the leaders of the alt-right white supremacists, you can listen to sound bites of them where in their delusion they come out and say, yes, we believe in a country where all races are not equal.
Yeah.
We believe in a country where the white man built the United States of America and that other races, black people, other ethnicities are trying to take over. And we're trying to follow in the means of what Donald Trump said he was running on, which is completely false, and to take back this country. Again, why I say the word delusion.
I don't know who you're taking it back from. You're taking it back from other white people. In world news, North Korea will not be launching missiles at Guam, at least not for the moment.
Okay.
A report from North Korea on Tuesday said that President Kim Jong-un had reviewed plans for a missile strike against Guam, home to several United States military bases, and decided instead to, quote, watch a little more the foolish and stupid conduct of the Yankees, end quote, according to the North's official KCNA news agency. North Korea did say that it could attack at any time, and upcoming joint military exercises involving the United States and South Korea could be a new flashpoint for simmering tensions on the Korean Peninsula.
So essentially, we're so entertaining being idiots over here that they've decided to hold off.
Yes.
How about the Guam radio stations that accidentally aired the emergency alert?
The foolish and
that must have been a fun whoops-a-daisies.
But when I hear him talk about the foolish and stupid conduct of the Yankees, I have to assume that he is not an Aaron Judge fan. That's what I get from
Did
this.
You happen to see the picture of the man, one of the commanders, that is stationed in Guam? They're represented from the United States and how big he is. He's like 8 feet tall, like 400 pounds, just as much. I believe if North Korea even shoots off a missile, he'll probably catch it in his hand and throw it back. I feel slightly...
Or maybe drop kick it.
Yeah, a little more confident.
In the meantime, the poor people of Guam woke up to an accidentally broadcast nuclear launch announcement yesterday.
I do love that the New York Times said, quote, but the residents took it in stride.
Yes. Yeah. So nothing to worry about with North Korea today.
Right now.
They'll be back. They'll be back next week once we start maneuvering all of our ships into position over there.
Well, today in sports news, we learned tensions flare off the football field. The already contentious six-game suspension of Dallas Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott took a new intensity on Wednesday when the NFL and the NFL Players Association traded angry accusations over information related to the case. Elliott was suspended by the NFL last week after a year-long investigation by the league into his behavior in July 2016 with ex-girlfriend Tiffany Thompson, who accused him of assaulting her five times in Columbus, Ohio, where he played at Ohio State. Elliott, through the union, appealed the decision on Tuesday, and his case will be heard by Harold Henderson, a league's appointed arbitrator. On Wednesday, the league took an unusual step in accusing the players' union of, quote, spreading derogatory information to the media, end quote, about Thompson, who was reported to have tried to blackmail Elliott. In a statement, the NFL has been loudly criticized in recent years for not understanding the needs of victims in domestic violence cases, called the tactic shameful. So another mess that the NFL has, and this is countless stories we have covered on this show, you know, back in 2014 when Goodell suspended former Baltimore Ravens running back Ray Rice for the two games after on video we see him knocking out his fiance in the elevator. But after the video, the incident was published, he increased the punishment. This is a video that we probably all knew existed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course, last season, Giants kicker Josh Brown, he was suspended only for one game. Again, I believe that was his wife or his girlfriend who abused, I forget who the player was, but he threw his girlfriend on the bed with multiple firearms that I'm going to shoot you if you don't, you know, act right.
Things that people...
Pillow talk, though, right?
Things that people outside of the NFL would go to jail for. But because you're in the NFL, you get the benefit of an NFL investigation and a 4 to 6 game suspension. This suspension will be dropped to 4 games, by the way.
No, and of course,
almost guaranteed.
This is something that we see from the players' union. And essentially, they are representing the players. And it's almost like you're a defense attorney and they're trying to reduce your suspension. So, of course, they're going to try to pull up and dig up any information they can get on this woman. What they're saying, the girlfriend at the time had a conversation with one of her friends that lasted over a series of 2 days where she was saying, I can do this, antagonize them to do this, and I can use it as basically bait. And blackmail.
Regardless.
Whether it's right or not.
Whether she induced him to hit her or not, he hit her.
Yeah.
And men...
That's the bottom line.
...who hit women are not men.
And
period.
How many times have we said that?
End of story. Okay? Look, I love what Zeke Elliott does on a football field. Mm-hmm. The guy is incredible to watch. He's got amazing talent. It's time to grow up, start being a man, and stop being an idiot. And... the smart thing for him to do in this situation would be to sit down and take his 6 games, not file an appeal, and say, you know what? I made a huge mistake.
Yeah, I did it all fall on my sword.
I was in a bad place. I was in a bad situation with somebody. I didn't understand what was going on. I let my temper get the better of me. I'm going to learn from this. Mm-hmm. Because if Zeke Elliott did that, everybody is going to give him a second chance. Mm-hmm. Instead, he's going to appeal. And what you're going to hear from people who hate the Dallas Cowboys for the next 20 years is, oh yeah, how's the girlfriend beater doing for you?
Yeah, no,
that's him now. That's your reputation, Ezekiel Elliott. You are a woman beater. You are a batterer. You are an abuser. You are a girlfriend beater.
I want to pose this question to you because, in my opinion, so because we're dealing with the Dallas Cowboys, let's do a comparison to the Patriots. I believe that the circumstances or what the outcome would be very different between the two teams, where I believe it would be pushed from the front offices of the Patriots for a player to take the consequences, to take the suspension, like you just said, as you should, as a man, and say, I did this. Compared to what is going on with the Cowboys.
We
understanding the front office
of
the Cowboys.
We know that wouldn't happen.
And they want him to play because he is a star player.
We have proof that wouldn't happen. Mm-hmm. We had a guy deflate a bunch of footballs and fight it and fight it and fight it.
But again...
Tom Brady deflated those footballs.
But Derek, the amount of times that
he stood there and deflated those footballs.
Talked about Deflategate countless times on this show. There is a huge difference because there is no essentially handbook of rules.
Right.
It's getting a
This is the real problem.
Permanent marker.
And this is what...
before it was in pencil.
Because I'll tell you the real reason. And the thing about Deflategate is a joke, obviously. The thing... that's happening here is because there is no rule book, because there are no strict, you do this, you get this many games, you do this, you get this many games. There is a constant battle going between the commissioner's office and the players union. And absent specific guidelines, the players union wants it to be set up so that anything goes. You deal drugs, you beat up women, you get caught with hookers, you're punching people outside the stadium, you're punching people inside the stadium, no problem, play ball. That's what the players union wants.
Mm-hmm. But that's
what the commissioner wants is upstanding young men playing football.
But that's why there needs to be, whenever a story like this comes up, all I can think about is Ray Carruth, because these young men do have it in their head. I can just get away with anything.
Pretty much.
Because they just want to make sure I can play football.
Ask Jameis Winston the last time he paid for lobster.
What happens with that mentality, though?
This is something that's happened in high school, in college, for these star players.
But that's what I'm saying.
It didn't matter what you did. I had not so great grades, but I needed to play lacrosse. So I got extra help. I'm sure that helped a little bit, but there's a reason why this happens from the beginning of their careers all through. And we talk about the, 17-year-old from Malden who thinks he's invincible. This is what majority of these players do. I can do anything and I will not have any consequences, because why? We see these time and time again where somebody either gets a DUI, it gets washed off. Gets a drug arrest, gets washed off. I mean, the fact that we are having people sometimes have one incident with weed, having more of a suspension.
Which is ridiculous.
That somebody that beats their wife.
This is why we need guidelines. This is why you need. You do this, you get this. You do this, you get this.
Coming from a league that takes one entire month for women. We're just going to dress everybody in pink. That's going to make up for all the women that are being beaten.
No, it's not about women. That's about breast cancer, and that's about selling more jerseys. That's a marketing move on the part of everybody involved.
Of course it is. But what does it come off? We love the women. We love breast cancer.
If you're dumb enough to buy into that, but it's just an excuse to sell
again,
more jerseys.
What does it come off? Again, what is it about? Money.
Yeah.
I do think that you're right, though, in that this isn't like they suddenly become professional football players and it becomes a thing. It's something. I do think there need to be guidelines in place in the National Football League, but it is something that needs to be addressed and I don't know how we would implement that. We're kind of so far down the rabbit's hole with this sort of society, I guess, in general, but it needs to be something that becomes addressed from the get-go, from the high school level, from when these kids are, but it's tough because, in America, we tend to revere those super athletic people.
The one argument that you could make in defense of Ezekiel Elliott, in terms of you cannot defend Ezekiel Elliott for punching a woman under any circumstances. You cannot defend that. The one argument you can make in defense of lowering the 6-game suspension is that he was not an NFL player at the time when some of these incidents occurred. So the NFL should not have any jurisdiction over something that a player who is not officially a player does.
No, and
you can't go back and beat up on people for stuff that they did in college and high school.
Mm-hmm. It's like double jeopardy.
Yeah, as much as there are those who would like to see that happen, you can't do it. Mm-hmm. Your current employer cannot fire you for stealing from your last employer. They have to wait until you steal from them.
Of course. Here's an idea, because during the summertime there's not much going on. Roger Goodell, you go up to your little house in Maine, because you can't really roam the streets anymore because people will
there's no football up there and nobody cares.
Sit in your chair on the water. You just take out a pen, take out a piece of paper, start writing down some rules, make a little book.
Tom Brady, banned. Bill Belichick, banned. Bobby Kraft, banned. New England Patriots, banned.
The bad things that could a player could do or a team could do.
Patriots win a game. Patriots win a playoff game. Patriots win another Super Bowl. I hate the Patriots. Signed.
And then we have Robbie the teams G. agree to it. And then it goes into law.
Yeah.
Is that such a crazy
what you need,
request?
No, the commissioner's office needs to say these are the offenses, these are the penalties, put it in front of the players' union at the next collective bargaining agreement, which is coming up soon, by the way, and let the union say, yes, we agree with this, negotiate, get it done, so that the next time somebody decides to do blow at the Kentucky Derby and throw money all over the place, we don't have to go through 3 months of whether or not they're going to be suspended for performance-enhancing drugs when, number one, they're not using a performance-enhancing drug, and number two, they're not using it during football season.
And what happened? I mean, look at the Tom Brady trials. Half of those were taxpayer-funded.
And by the way, if you really want to clean up the NFL, which nobody who owns an NFL team does, when these guys get into trouble during the offseason, let the cops have them. Let it work its way through the courts.
That I think is the thing that bothers me the most.
Real citizens?
Yeah, but you know what's going to happen.
That bothers me the most is why are they special? I know that they can throw a football really far or catch it when someone else does or tackle someone who does, but other than that, they're still. You cut them open, they're going
to
bleed red.
The ability to do what they do belongs to a handful of people in any given year, and the ability to do it well belongs to an even smaller group of people generation.
That's true of scientists, doctors. If a doctor performs surgery drunk or something,
correct,
he's still going to be arrested
correct
for that.
But there are certain allowances made because you're taking a 21-year-old who's just out of college, who's been living in a sports bubble his entire life. You're giving him $20 million and saying, all right, welcome to the team. It is a recent, and the NFL has taken steps to try and control that. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, you know, a lot of these kids have got people around them who are, hey, let's go do this, let's go do that. Hey, you're the superstar. You're pushing them.
I'll give you a perfect example.
There's a lot that goes around.
Last week, I
witnessed that layer of celebrity.
A hockey player who is from Boston. He now plays, I believe, San Jose team. He is 20 years old. He was drinking at a restaurant. The managers knew, the servers knew.
Yeah.
Everybody knows who he is in the city of Boston.
And his
stats, drinking
as in his age.
Because he was with, you know, I don't even know who he was with. But anyways.
They're going to tell him no. He's going to go drink across the street.
For about 8 hours, he's drinking at one establishment. And it is. You can do whatever you want. You get a $20 million a year contract. Yeah. Yes. Your ID, sure.
Yeah.
Works. Well, in food news, we learned Europe has a crack in its egg supply. The European Union on Friday said that it plans to hold an extraordinary meeting late this month over a growing tainted egg scandal, as it revealed that its products contaminated with an insecticide have now spread to 17 countries. Millions of eggs have been destroyed or pulled from supermarket shelves since July 20th, when it was made public that a pesticide, fipronil, which is dangerous to human health and was found in a mixture of other treatment sprays on chickens for ticks, fleas, lice, known as Dega 16. Almost all lab tests show very low levels of the chemical, 7 to 10 times lower than the maximum permitted, have been detected in the eggs from the treated chickens. Although one test from Belgium was above the European limit. Poisoning by small doses has a few effects and requires a little treatment. Heavy prolonged exposure can damage the kidneys or livers and cause seizures. The scandal has caused a major political fallout, with neighbors Belgium, the Netherlands, and Germany squabbling over who is to blame and who knew what when. Poultry farmers have been hardest hit and are blaming the chemical industry for compromising their business for exposing consumers to danger.
Between this and the butter shortage, you're not getting any croissant. So just if you're going over there looking for the croissant, forget it. There's no croissant. There are no omelets. There's no.
Now, so the European Union's Executive Commission on Friday said that the contaminated eggs were found at producers only in 4 countries. So it's spread through travel, through trade in 17 countries, but it's only coming from Belgium, France, Germany, and the Netherlands. So it's also reached Austria, Denmark, Ireland, Switzerland, Luxembourg, Poland, so on and so on. Pretty much everybody. Just came out also yesterday that it has gone to Hong Kong. So now we're not dealing with just the European Union. We're also going into Asia. you are going to start seeing multi-level products having affected, as you said, and you mentioned, this is why this story came
up
to me.
Keep building those factory farms, kids. Keep consolidating all of our food supply into a handful of locations so that it's very easy for everybody to get sick.
It definitely hasn't messed anything up yet.
No, it's working beautifully. it saves so much money, and it's so efficient.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes so many more profits.
You mentioned butter being one. And really butter. The difference, yes, we have bakeries around here in the United States, but this is something, and especially you see in France and Italy, this is what, you know, so many of these smaller villages in these countries.
I worry for the French. Have you seen the French? They're thin people. With no croissants, they're going to die. They're going to be keeling over and dying
but
in the street.
But you are going to see a large increase in products going up, and you're going to see it trickling off into other avenues. But exactly like you just said, you're trying to take away the business from the smaller farmers. It's more cost efficient for these companies to, yes, consolidate into one large factory. It's just like when you produce, a specific thing only in one place, something falls in the batter, everything's tainted. Yeah. So now you're not dealing with 1 million pounds of products. You're dealing with 10, 15, 20 million pounds. So everything has to be taken away.
And it's all a rolling of the dice. It's, well, yeah, we could do this in small batches to make sure that doesn't happen, but it probably won't. Like, we'll just kind of roll the dice, take a little chance, hope profits can... As a result.
Yeah, we're not
sound
talking
like a
about
lot
the
of people
screw,
are dying.
Though, was found in SpaghettiOs in a large factory in the Midwest. We're talking about pesticides that are being sprayed on animals that are now contaminating the eggs.
Yeah.
Like pesticides that kill people.
Spraying the animals with pesticides might be something that they want to avoid in the future. Just a thought. Eclipse glasses are in short supply ahead of Monday's total solar eclipse in some parts of the United States and a partial solar eclipse here in Massachusetts. Health officials have issued stern warnings not to look at the eclipse directly at any time, which is fueling sales of so-called eclipse glasses, some of which are fakes. Genuine glasses provided by NASA may be free at your local library, and those buying glasses should look for an ISO certification number 12312-2. That is certification number 12312-2, along with the manufacturer's name and address. Under no circumstances should anyone look at the eclipse directly through sunglasses, smoked glass, CDs, or other homemade devices, as this can cause permanent retina damage and blindness with just a few seconds of exposure. So we're not getting the total eclipse up here. We're just getting the partial.
I'm going to say it's going from like the northwest to like the southeast.
We're getting, may like, I just say that I feel like everybody is off
we're getting
because
like,
of this eclipse.
We're getting like 60.
The energy is off. The
63% eclipse up here.
Nuts.
Eclipses are cool. I love a good eclipse. Eclipses are awesome.
Yeah.
And if you don't remember the one we had in the mid-90s because you were too young, or if you've never really been through one, oh boy. Monday's going to be a blast.
Yeah, I can totally see you with a pair of these.
No.
Cool sunglasses.
No, because China counterfeit everything is available all over the place.
Of course, Amazon just recalled hundreds of thousands of these glasses.
I am not trusting myself with a $2 pair of quote-unquote eclipse glasses. This is how you do it. I'm going to tell you how to do it, okay? If you want to view the eclipse safely... What you want to do is you want to make a pinhole camera.
I was going to say, a pinhole camera.
Yes.
We made those last eclipse when we were like 9.
And the best way
or
to do this...
Me and Lisa were like 9. You were, I don't know, 50.
Is you want to get yourself a decent-sized box that's got some depth to it. And the more depth that the box has, the better, as long as you can sort of carry it around. And you're going to cut two holes in the top of it. One of them is for your face to go into so that you can look inside the box. And then you line the bottom of the box with white construction paper or anything white you happen to have around. Make sure it's smooth. Don't use paper towels. Get some white paper. Put it down there. And you're going to cut a little square on the other end of the box. And you are going to use duct tape to secure a piece of aluminum foil to that over that other hole. Then you take a pin or an earring stud or something small, and you make a tiny little hole in that aluminum foil. When you look into the box... You will see the sun, and you may see some clouds, and you may see some sky, and you may see some other things, because the light is collected and reflected back to you on that piece of paper. You can look at the eclipse all you want with one of these things. You've got the parts you need to make it at home.
So when I drive by your house this weekend, I'm going to see you with your face in a box.
Yes. I am making a box.
It kind of blows
I'll
my
mind. I'll make sure we beep really loud when we go by your house. Yeah.
I'll be at work because it's happening at work.
It kind of blows my mind just with how, you know, widespread knowledge is now that we even need to be talking about, like, first of all, don't look at the sun. Period. But don't look at an eclipse.
Don't look at it. So.
One would think. Like, I remember because I remember when we, the last eclipse, so what was it, 95 you said?
Yes.
I remember when
I was 95
we
or 96.
Those. I was going to say, it was probably 95 or, because I remember I was in elementary school. But I remember we made those and I got home and I showed my grandfather. He goes, oh, whenever there's eclipse, I always just wear my straw hat. Because there's the little holes in the straw hat, and it makes it reflect onto the ground underneath you.
Yeah, that works. But a pinhole...
It's not as accurate a
pinhole camera is awesome. Don't point your cell phone at the eclipse either, because depending on who made it, the direct sunlight can blast out. Well, that's what you're going to have.
Keep selfie.
That's what you're going to have. People taking eclipse selfies. Yeah. So you should know that if you point a lens, digital cameras will put up with a lot more of this today, but you can fry the circuits in your digital camera if you point it at the sun. So
Hashtag solar induced blindness.
Don't look at the sun is what I'm saying.
Really, again, why really? It's crazy that we have to tell.
Maybe all the dumb people should look at it.
Yeah, I was going to say.
The important thing is, during a total solar eclipse, at the point of totality, you can look at the sun because the moon's covering it and you just get the umbra around the moon. We're not getting a total solar eclipse. We are getting a partial solar eclipse.
Yeah.
At no point during the eclipse here in Massachusetts will it be safe for you to look at the sun. Do not look at the sun. And if you are trusting your eyes to a pair of $2 quote-unquote eclipse glasses that you bought at the convenience store, I don't know what to tell you. Okay?
You're kind of asking for it.
You probably eat at Chipotle. You're a big daredevil. I'm not with you. Do check with your local library, though, because NASA made 2 million pairs of actual, real, genuine NASA-approved eclipse glasses available. Boston Public Library, I know, had some, and some other libraries around the Commonwealth of Massachusetts have them.
Ooh, I'm going to hop over to Thomas Crane tomorrow.
Go check there and see if you can get them. If you can't, pinhole camera is your next best bet.
No why, there's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
And the stormy weather will be returning for the weekend. This seems to be a recurring theme. We'll see if we get to see the eclipse or not. Tonight, it's going to be nice. Good night for sleeping. Lows around 60 in the city, 50s out in the suburbs with declining humidity. Tomorrow, winter, clam bake dinner. Mostly sunny, high of 80. Very low humidity. Lows in the mid-60s tomorrow night. And then Friday, yes, rain showers during the day. Highs in the mid-70s. And then it stays hot on Friday night, and the humidity goes right up with those showers around. Lows around 70 Friday night. That lingers into Saturday with morning thunderstorms. Highs in the mid-80s. Rain clears out in the afternoon. Lows still around 70 degrees on Saturday night. And then Sunday is your yard work day. The humidity drops. Highs in the mid-80s. Lows in the mid-60s. And Monday, for all you eclipse watchers, no rain in the forecast. Shouldn't be a cloud in the sky.
Oh, good. You won't mess up your selfie.
The other thing that you want to keep in mind on Monday is to pray so that Quetzalcoatl does not devour the sun, which... given everything else that's happening around here right now, I have to say, is a very distinct possibility. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. This is The Big Picture. When we come back, what happened in Charlotte over the weekend, and who is actually to blame here on WMFO Medford?
This is Sarah Beck, consumer meat specialist for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, with a few suggestions on handling frozen meat. If you buy meat that is already frozen, be sure to place it in your freezer as soon as you get home. If you can't go directly home with your purchase, the packages can be wrapped in newspaper, for example, to prevent thawing. While freezer storage is a convenient way to keep meat, be sure you check the recommended storage time for each type of meat and date the packages so you'll know which to use first. If stored too long, meat will begin to lose its flavor, but it will still be wholesome. It's best to thaw meat in the refrigerator. If you don't use the meat once it's thawed, you can safely refreeze it as long as it remains in good condition. For more free information, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
When you get bumped on a racetrack, the key is to stay in control.
NASCAR legend Rusty Wallace.
Same goes for the highway. That's why professional truck drivers need to buckle up every trip, every time. Your safety belt can keep you in position behind the wheel and in control, looking out for yourself and everybody else. That's what a professional driver does. So be ready, be buckled, and remember, you're the professional, the one who drives for a living.
A public service message from the U.S. Department of Transportation.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. This would normally be the part of the show we would do Did You Hear? Events over the weekend in Charlottesville and events since then in New York City and Washington, D.C. Compel us to dispense with some of the more interesting items this week and dig right into what matters and what's important because this has been, as I said at the top of the show, a very extraordinary week since we were last together. By now, most people are aware of what happened in Charlottesville. There was a gathering of white supremacists on Friday night opposed to the removal of a Robert E. Lee statue in the city of Charlottesville, Virginia, and the renaming of Robert E. Lee Park to Emancipation Park. That display, that protest on Friday night, more or less went off without a hitch. If without a hitch, you consider having the Ku Klux Chad marching through your town. And I call them the Ku Klux Chad because apparently the uniform for Nazis now is cargo shorts, polo shirts, and tiki torches from Walmart.
Yeah, that's essentially what Friday night
was. Or the other big box store. So that happens. And then on Saturday, they were going to have another rally at the park, only this time the left decided to show up. Everyone's got their riot gear, their homemade tactical gear. Everybody's got their clubs out. Everybody's got their shields. Everybody's got their balloons full of urine and their pepper spray. And
their various baseball and football helmets.
Yeah, their homemade riot gear. And things go south. And shortly after things go south, a young man from Ohio, who apparently did not aspire to much in his life, James Alex Fields, a security guard, age 20, drove his Dodge Charger into a crowd of counter-protesters on a street next to a pedestrian mall. So all of these people are funneling out of this pedestrian mall onto this side street, which was supposed to be closed. And according to the photographer who took some of the pictures of this, Mr. Fields backed his car up a hill and then drove at high speed down into the crowd with the intention of causing as much carnage as possible. Heather Heyer, 32, a paralegal who was actually doing something with her life to better the world, lost her life, 19 injured. I don't know if any of those people are still in the hospital. I got to believe some, at least a couple of them are.
Yeah.
Having seen the video, etc.
No, you know, and as you said, this group on Friday night, and people like Richard Spencer,
the
white
Ku Klux Chad. Let's call them the Ku Klux Chad,
yeah.
Because that's what they're pathetic weenies.
And yeah, Blake. They get about 1,000 people, and they have these tiki torch light parade.
Yeah.
And it's a bunch of these losers that probably have never been laid in their life talking about why black people are bad. Okay. I guess that
it wasn't just the black people though.
They were not leaving anybody.
Derek, Jews I'm doing
place us blood and soil. All the usual
generalization.
Yeah,
if we're talking about the KKK. And, you know, they did that on Friday night, and the next day they were going to do this march again. And as you said, Saturday took a turn for the worst. Now, the alt-right white supremacist is evil. And neo-Nazism is evil. And I've been saying this the whole time that we've been on the show. And, you know, I've slammed these various groups before. Derek, you have too. And Shay, I'm sure you completely are against them. But mainstream media, again, tries to point at somebody like a Steve Bannon and Donald Trump with their association of the two group. And essentially what you have is this human piece of human debris that decided to drive his car 40 miles an hour into a group of these protesters that were from the other side, again, killing a 32-year-old woman. It's crazy to me.
But I want to put this in context. That is what everybody's talking about. Everybody's talking about this guy that drove his car and killed Heather Heyer.
Mm-hmm.
What they're not talking about, and what we're going to talk about Donald Trump's comments in a little bit, but what Donald Trump's comments have provided convenient cover for is the absolutely loathsome behavior displayed by those on the left who attended the quote-unquote counter-protest, whatever you want to call it, okay? We've all seen the video by now. Most of us have seen the video by now on CNN and other outlets of the white supremacists with their big particle board shield using a wedge formation to try and get down the street, at which point the Antifa and the leftists start coming at them with their clubs and shoving them and hitting them with sticks and all the rest of this. That's where the violence began that day. Now, I am not for one second, because there was violence the night before and there was violence ahead of that, where white supremacists found individuals or small groups of minorities and were beating them with sticks. That completely unacceptable. But by the same token, by the way, if you watch that video that's on CNN with the particle board, they're all white people. Have you noticed that about the video?
Yes.
It's two groups of white people fighting over black rights.
I think it is important to say, though, that this was all done. This is all done supposedly in the name of protesting the removal of this Robert E. Lee statue. But I think that was really just kind of a red herring or a scapegoat for all these white supremacists to get together, because this wasn't a group of Southerners who didn't want a historical statue removed and peacefully protested that happening. This was people with torches reminiscent of the Nazi movement rallies.
No.
Screaming, no. Jews will not replace us. That has nothing to do with Robert E. Lee and a statue.
This is a clown show parody of the Nazis. This is guys in khakis
but this is,
and
polo
shirts.
I'm not trying
shirts.
To say they're nearly as organized or...
I want to know what big box store...
I don't know how to say that without being like, they're not as good as the Nazis.
I want to know if it's Walmart or Home Depot where they all got their tiki torches, because
Derek,
the same tiki torch.
Well, Derek, what you started to get into... And this is what the media has really largely been silent about, is this left side and Antifa or Antifa, whatever you want to call it. Antifa, it's a loosely connected band of anti-capitalist protesters, generally on the far right or far left, that usually say that they're anti-fascist. And they've been in the United States since, what, into the 90s?
WMFO
during some of these protests.
I have to say that.
But it is.